I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Duke fans, welcome to DBR Bites, episode number 43. We have more good news, folks. There's another Dukie coming back to Durham. Tyrese Proctor making his way back. We're going to be talking about that also a little later. We're going to chat about the ACC academic, all-academic team. Some impressive numbers for the Blue Devils. But before we get to that, I am Jason Evans, because I think it's entirely possible that there are people out there listening who don't know my voice by this point. As we embark on the 43rd Bites and the 621st episode, regular episode, I think you should know me by now. Joining me is Donald Wine. Donald, you're in a special place right now. What are you doing at the moment, buddy?
I just got back to my hotel. I am in Durham. I am back. It's reunion weekend. I'm going to meet up with a couple of friends after we record this, Jason. We're recording late on Thursday because the news that came out today, we couldn't wait. Well, you had to wait for me. I had to have dinner and then we're going to do this. But yes, I'm here for reunion weekend. Of course, class 2004. If you're one of the fours or the nines, it is your reunion weekend. So hopefully I will see you on campus tomorrow.
Yes. A special time always to have your reunion, catch up with your old friends, all that kind of stuff. All right. But let's get to the matter at hand, which is that this afternoon, Adam Zagoria, who's a fairly well-known established reporter covering college basketball and recruiting and things like that for a long time, runs Zags Blog, is the name of his publication. Adam Zagoria reported that Tyrese Proctor will return to Duke for his third season, for his junior year. I'm going to get to it right now. Before we talk about Tyrese Proctor, I do want to mention something really quick, which is that in the circle of people who find out things, insiders, so to speak, the news that Tyrese Proctor was going to be returning to Duke has been known for several days. I heard about it like 3 days ago, I think, and I told you, Donald, you'd been hearing about it from other sources as well. I don't know why Adam Zagoria felt like he had to break this news. I think it would have been a lot nicer if Tyrese had gotten to distribute the news as he saw fit. Perhaps he could give it to Adam Zagoria. That could be how he tells the story. You know, there are plenty of reporters he could tell it to. He could have posted it to his own social media channels or whatever it may be. But instead, you know, Adam decided to break the story. It was not a story that was not well known in the circle of insiders out there. So I'm a little disappointed that Tyrese didn't get to do this on his own, however he wanted to. But all that said, and by the way, that's kind of why we didn't say anything about it. We recorded an episode, Donald, where you and I knew that this news was going to be coming out fairly soon.
And we offered hints. We offered hints that hey, this might be, we might have some better news, especially when we were talking, we talked about a couple of transfers and Christian Reeves and Mark Mitchell. We said, hey, there might be better news coming, but we don't like to break news. And honestly, Jason, I can't speak for Adam Zagoria being the one that breaks this. Because as we know, you're in media, I'm in media. Sometimes people feed leaks to people and say, hey, you know, if it comes out, I want you to put it out first and then people can react to it. But on its own, we don't know Tyrese Proctor. So we were not going to, you know, break what we had heard because it just wasn't our place to do so. But having said that, Jason, the great thing is we had this news to talk about.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So let's get to the news. And I want to start with this. I think it is definitely worth noting. Look, there are people who feel like Tyrese had an up and down season. I would honestly be among them. There were times when he was great. There are times when he did not live up to expectations. But overall, it is worth noting. Rick Heidrich on Twitter, who's one of the best Duke fans out there on Twitter. Rick is a great guy. Rick pointed this out. Tyrese's points went from 9.4 points per game as a freshman to 10.5 as a sophomore. His assists went from 3.3 to 3.7. His field goal percentage went from 38% to 42%. That includes, by the way, his two-point field goal percentage went from under 44% to over 52% from his freshman to sophomore year. And his three-point percentage went from 32% to 35%. Tyrese Proctor got better as a sophomore. And it's a little scary to think about what could happen next year as a junior, as an upperclassman for this guy. And Donald, before you jump in, I just want to do a couple other statistical things that I think are worth noting about his game. Tyrese was 25th in the nation in assist-to-turnover ratio, almost right at 3 to 1, just a shade under 3 to 1 assist-to-turnover ratio. But during his final 11 games of the season, he was just a shade under 4 to 1, even better. That would have been top 10 in the country at assist to turnover ratio. He had an outstanding end to the season until the very, very last games when it tailed off a little bit for him. But this was a guy, we cannot forget the steals that he had against Houston in the Sweet 16 that were absolutely essential to Duke winning that game. That was my play of the game. Tyrese Proctor got my play of the game in the win over Houston, you know? This is a guy who had expected to play well enough this year to enter the NBA draft. And it's great to get him back because I still think he has plenty of NBA potential and NBA future in him. And B, we all know that the season he had could have been better. And I really think there is a very good chance. Injuries really bugged him this year. There's a very good chance that a healthy Tyrese Proctor will be an absolute force for Duke next year.
Going to his stats, Jason, you mentioned a couple of them, but I want to reiterate some things about his stats. Again, we talked about how we felt like it was an up and down year for him in several ways, right? Not just, you know, there are some games, like you said, he was the best player on the floor and some days where it felt like he disappeared. But when you look at all his stats, there's only a couple that went down. Right. The number of games that he played, he went from 36 to 32. And that was because of the injury that he had that kept him out for a few games. And turnovers. He had fewer turnovers per game this year than he did last year. Everything else that was a demonstrable category either was relatively flat, like rebounds, or he went up. Free throw percentage went down just a tad. But when we look at him, and Jason, when I looked at this and when we talked about Mark Mitchell the other day, I go back to that interview that we had before the UNC game with Jay Billis, where we said, hey, these guys aren't living up to expectations. And he kind of said, you know, expectations are on the people, right? Maybe we had too high expectations for him. And as Duke fans for this team, right, we had these expectations. But when you look at it and you can kind of rest for a few days and kind of, you know, we don't have to look at KenPom stats all the time because of not another game. We can kind of take a few days and kind of break from the season and then look back and go, he improved in a lot of categories that are, you know, helped us be successful this year. When he was on the floor, the fact that he was, especially down the stretch, as you mentioned, him being able to distribute the ball better really helped us in the final stretches of the regular season. It helped us in the tournament. And I am so glad that he's back. I think it's going to be interesting this summer because the Olympics are around. And of course, he factors into the player pool, at least a strong chance of making the Australia national team. And he won't be the only one from this team that might have a chance to be an Olympian. I think that would be a great, great thing for him. But man, I feel like having him back was one of the things that we said that we would love to have. If we could get one or two of our guards that we had this year back, it would be such a huge boost to next year's team because we have a captain coming back. We have that leadership. We have distribution. We have a guy who can shoot threes. He was a stat in the stat game, and we all said this guy can shoot. And when he gets off, he gets off. And he also has the ability to create on the dribble. He had a lot of times where he could get into the lane and create some, you know, step back shot or like a mid range shot that he knocked down with some pretty, you know, consistent regularity, at least for a long stretch of the regular season before he got hurt. So I'm really excited about this. I don't want to get into the too deep dive about what this means and what he needs to do to kind of improve on this season. But having him back was the key. That's the most important thing. And man, am I glad we have him back because it just makes next year's team, with all the expectations that are coming with it, that much stronger.
Yeah, there are a couple other things we should mention. The first one is that we're talking about statistics, the stat that you cannot measure. There's half the game where it's very difficult to measure what a guy does on defense. Sure, some guys get steals, some guys get block shots, but there's a lot of defense, a whole lot of defense that is not stat related. And Tyrese Proctor is one of the elite perimeter defenders in all of college basketball. When Duke was playing a team, and that team had an outstanding perimeter player, Tyrese Proctor got the assignment more often than not. Pretty much every game he was healthy enough to. He was the guy who got that assignment because he's 6'5", got great size for his position, and he has good long arms, and he has great body control and lateral quickness. It is also worth noting, the dude is a returning captain. Last year, the players voted, the coaches approved, that Tyrese Proctor was one of three guys who would speak for this team. This is a Duke team that probably is going to be a little bit short on experience and leadership next year. And having a guy like Tyrese Proctor, who's had a whole year as a captain, coming back is a huge advantage for the team. And then the last thing I want to mention is this. One of Duke's bigger games this season was the home win against Clemson in late January.
Mm-hmm.
With 1 second left on the clock, Tyrese Proctor got fouled and had to hit a couple free throws, and he drained both of them. Ice water in his veins. That is super important to have in your point guard. A guy who you go, oh, like you mentioned, 75% free throw shooter. You know, would I like it to be 10 percentage points higher? Yes. But 75 is fairly good. But the key thing is, if he was getting fouled down the stretch, Tyrese Proctor was nailing those free throws. I don't have the stats in front of me to see, you know, close games, clutch free throws, final 4 minutes of a game when it's a, you know, less than a 5-point game. But I don't recall Tyrese Proctor missing too many of those.
Yeah, and to go back to the leadership part, right, he not only was one of the three captains, as you mentioned, and I mentioned, he was the vocal one, right? Because you had Ryan Young, who led by example. He's the old man on the block, and we're going to miss his leadership because he led by example. You know, Jeremy Roach is a guy who leads by example as well. When he's on the floor, he's not a guy who's going to be in the huddle and grabbing guys and yelling at them or telling them vocally to get on one side of the floor or what have you. He's just going to go do it, right? He's going to show you what it means to play Duke basketball. Tyrese Proctor not only did that, but he also was the vocal one. He was also the guy that would calm people down when things got frantic. And we need that in a team that's going to be super young next year because they're not going to know. There's going to be times where the Cooper Flagg and Malach and Evans, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know where to be on the floor. And he's going to be there this summer to remind them what the expectations are of being a Duke basketball player, what it means, what to expect when you go on the road. And we're going to have some road games next year that are going to be very tough. And he's going to be able to walk them through that. And I think that is super, super critical for a young team, because a lot of young teams can go so far, but they need the leadership to carry them across the finish line and to, again, serve as that example at times. And he's able to do it. I will also mention, Jason, you talked about his defense. I think it's understated how great his defense was last year when he was healthy, because not only was he doing that, that tires everybody out, right? That you can, if you're a good defender, you are gassed on defense, and then you have to play offense. Jason, he played more minutes this year than he did last year. He scored more points. He got more assists, you know, again, relatively flat on rebounds, but all of these, the fact that all these stats that he did have ticked up a little bit is great, considering the fact that he is working on both ends of the floor. I would love for him to be a 50-40-80 guy, and he's just shy of doing that next year, because if he's a 50-40-80 guy and he's dishing out 4 to 5, 4.5 assists a game, 3-4 assists a game, he's going to have fun. And I think this is the time where he can get in the gym and work on that. But now that we know that he's coming back, the roster construction, all these little things that people are talking about, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? We have a really big piece of that puzzle solved. And now we can work on the rest of it. But having him back is just absolutely amazing.
I will say one other thing about Tyrese Proctor, and then I got a quick note I want to just mention about the basketball banquet. But Tyrese Proctor, last year's Duke team wasn't a great, like, lob team. I'm just going to be honest.
Right.
Like, Kyle Filipowski is not a guy where if you're driving the lane, he's crashing and soaring and you're tossing up lobs to him. Mark Mitchell, you know, probably more than any of the guys who played a lot was a guy like that. But next
year, Sean Stewart was probably the best guy.
But Sean Stewart didn't play a ton. Next year, and Tyrese Proctor, we know, loves to throw those lobs. This is, you know, a point guard's best friend is I'm getting the ball in the lane. The defense puts its eyes on me, and suddenly I toss it up there, and I got a guy whose elbows are at the rim who's slamming it through. It's the easiest assist in basketball. Next year's Duke team, Cooper Flagg, Sean Stewart playing 20-plus minutes per game. Common Malawach, I'm sorry. Lob City.
Patrick Ngongba can also
yes.
do that.
Oh, there are going to be a lot of dunks by that team next year. And Tyrese Proctor, you're talking about 3 assists a game? Tyrese Proctor going to get a lot of assists tossing that ball. Remember him and Derek Lively? He's got that kind of front line.
And Whitehead. You know, Whitehead was a smaller guy, but he would be that guy that kind of would crash and, you know, Tyrese Proctor do it. Jason, if you remember early in the season when Sean Stewart was getting a lot of those, those alley-oop dunks, like basically someone would drive the lane and kind of toss it in the air like they're laying it up, but it's really just an alley-oop to Sean Stewart. The two guys who were doing it the most were Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster. So if we have both of those guys come back, it's going to be great. Also, Jason, the fact that you mentioned, you know, 4 or 5 guys, right? We just mentioned 4 or 5 guys that could do that. I hope that it's a point where, like, you know, Tyrese Proctor's throwing the ball up towards the rim and, like, the guys are doing, like, rock, paper, scissors to decide who's going to be the one that knocks it. Like, 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, I got paper. Bam! That's what I want to see. But it's not going to – of course, in theory, it's not going to happen like that all the time. But, again, the possibilities are endless when you have a guy like that who can throw the ball and distribute to guys and know where they are on the floor at all times. As the captain, he is going to be extra responsible for knowing where everybody is on the court, because at times he's going to have to be that guy to pull them in the right direction. I'm waiting to see how that improvement comes during the summer and how the offseason goes for him. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey, by the way, I had a little mole. I had someone telling me a little bit about stuff going on at the basketball banquet tonight. I am told that when they called Tyrese Proctor's name at the banquet, there was a little extra applause, a little extra juice from the crowd, because the news had leaked today that Tyrese would be coming back. Everyone's thrilled to have him back, of course. I'm also told, and it's worth mentioning this, that they announced at the banquet that Jaylen Blakes would be graduating, has completed enough classes that he is getting his Duke degree after being there for 3 years. And while nothing was specifically announced about Jaylen Blakes entering the transfer portal, I think a lot of people sort of assume that having gotten his degree from Duke, that is a fairly likely outcome. What I heard was there was sort of a vibe, so to speak, at the banquet that we're kind of saying goodbye to Jaylen Blakes here. I don't want to go into full detail. When Jaylen makes his announcement, we will let him make his announcement, whatever it may be. And when he makes that announcement, you and I will do a podcast and we will talk about Jaylen Blakes, and I will have a very good time discussing one of my favorite players who, you know, considering he's a guy who doesn't play a lot. But I just wanted folks to sort of know that that sort of thing was out there, so to speak.
I think the most important thing about what you said, just said, Jason, again, like you said, when he makes a decision either way, right, we may assume one thing, but it could be anything. We will react to that. What I will react to is congratulations, Jalen Blakes, on graduating and getting your degree in 3 years.
Oh, man.
A monumental feat. I know a lot of Duke players, we feel kind of jaded because a lot of Duke players tend to do that or at least get super close. But make no mistake, that is difficult for a regular student to do. This man was a Duke basketball player and did this in 3 years. So congratulations to him for graduating with a degree from Duke University. Proud now that we get to call you graduate. That's the cool part of this is no matter what happens, wherever he goes, if he stays, whatever, Duke graduate is going to be attached to his name. Welcome to the class of 2024, my friend.
Yes, yes. Definitely worth noting. By the way, Jalen Blakes will be getting his degree in political science. So, you know, not like a not the easiest topic to get your degree in. And speaking of
I got political science. Also, Jalen, this means 5 years from now, I'll see you at reunion, right? Like, because it'll be
there. You go.
We're linked together now. You're stuck with me.
I love it. I love it. And by the way, speaking of academics, speaking of someone getting their degree, the ACC has released their all academic team, Blue Devils, just all over it. We will have details of that in just a moment.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Donald, we're back from the break, and congratulations are in order to the All-ACC academic team. The ACC announced today the players all across the basketball who had achieved the following. This is the criteria. This is what you must do. You must have a 3.0 grade point average last semester. You must have a cumulative 3.0 or better, of course, for your entire academic career, and you need to play in at least 50% of your team's games. So there are Duke names just all over this list of players who got the ACC all-academic team. There are, in fact, eight Blue Devils, and I'm going to give them to you now. There are four guys who are, you know, upperclassmen, played multiple years at Duke, and then four of the freshmen. The four guys who played multiple years are Jalen Blakes, Kyle Filipowski, Ryan Young, and Tyrese Proctor, all four of those guys with a 3.0 or better. And then the four freshmen, Caleb Foster, Jared McCain, TJ Power, and Sean Stewart, all four of our freshmen make the ACC all-academic team. First of all, Duke getting eight teams leads the league. No other team in the conference had eight players make the all-academic team. I do want to shout out Florida State, Wake, and Virginia Tech, who had seven players each. I also want to shout out, in a negative way, there are three schools that only placed one player on the ACC all-academic team, only had one player get a 3.0. Those are Syracuse, Boston College, and UNC. The only player in North Carolina who managed to get a 3.0 was Cormac Ryan, a grad student who came over from Notre Dame.
Because he's 37 years old.
Yeah.
And he's an adult.
Yeah. I think that, I'll be honest, it's shameful. I mean, frankly, I don't understand why there aren't more freshmen on this thing. Because if you're a freshman, all you have to do is, you get a 3.0 in the fall semester, you know, the first semester, they're not looking at the second semester. They only look, you know, because the second semester isn't done. All you have to do is get a 3.0 in the first semester, you make the all-academic team. All four of Duke's freshmen did it. I kind of don't get how more of these, I mean, come on, freshman intro classes? Come on, really? But, you know, in any event, it is impressive that the Blue Devils did this. And it is worth noting that Kyle Filipowski is the only guy who made the ACC first team, the all-ACC first team as a player, who also made the ACC all-academic team, the only one who is truly a student-athlete, an elite student and an elite athlete. So congratulations to him for that. And then a couple other things I want to mention just really quickly. First of all, the majors, like sometimes it's hard to find. Like Duke doesn't publish the majors of their players, but for the all-academic team, they publish the majors. Both Kyle Filipowski and Jalen Blakes are poli-sci majors. We mentioned Blakes as poli-sci earlier. Tyrese Proctor, by the way, is working towards his degree in African and African-American studies. And Ryan Young, of course, is getting his MBA. Really impressive to get an MBA while playing basketball. All the Duke freshmen are currently undeclared, so we don't know what their majors are. Regarding majors, I noticed that Clemson, Leslie Knope, if you know the character Leslie Knope, she would love the Clemson basketball team. They had three players on their team make the all-academic team who are majoring in parks, recreation, and tourism management. I'm not mocking that, you know, major in whatever you want. It's fine. But I just found that amusing. I didn't know that was a major, parks, recreation, and tourism management. And it's apparently very, very popular on the Clemson basketball team. And then the very last thing I wanted to mention was NC State. They deserve a shout out. Four starters for NC State: DJ Horn, Casey Morsell, Michael O'Connell, and Jaden Taylor. Jaden Taylor was sort of started sometimes, didn't start sometimes, but Horn, Morsell, O'Connell, and Taylor, all four of those guys made the ACC all-academic team. That's impressive. Four-year starters, you know, at a school like NC State that doesn't necessarily have the academic reputation, I'm not knocking NC State at all, but doesn't have the academic reputation of a Duke or some of the other schools in the conference, Wake Forest, their number of schools, Virginia, UNC, there are a number of schools in the conference that have really stellar academic reputation. Not that State is bad, but for State to have four starters, four key players from that team make the all-academic team, that's impressive.
You know, getting to our team, Jason, you mentioned we had eight guys on the team. Mind you, there were only 10 guys that were eligible, right? Because you mentioned the criteria, and only 10 guys had played more than half of the games this year. So eight out of 10, doing the math, not bad. That's not bad at all. Like I rather appreciate that, especially given, you know, early, you know, a couple years ago, we were talking about, you know, how the APR,
Duke APR, yeah, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, it looks like we're back on track in that department. So again, hats off to the team for that. And also, again, like you mentioned, there's four guys on here that are upperclassmen, three of them who have been on the all academic team twice: Blakes, Young, and Flip. That is incredible too, because like I said, it is hard enough to do that as a student without doing anything else. But these guys also play college basketball in an elite level, college basketball at that, going all over the place. I know, and shout out to everybody who helps with this, right? All the tutors and all the advisors that they have to make sure that these guys are staying in the coaching staff, and everybody who tries to make sure that these guys are staying on top of their job, because this is their job. And the fact is that there's a lot of people that have to make sure that these guys are in the right places at the right time and are doing their work and providing the time necessary for them to do it. And I know, Jason, we've talked about the break during Christmas, where they have a reading period where the coaches come back and they go, yeah, we were off for 10 days, but we only had one full practice with everybody here because people were doing work. That's the kind of commitment that this program has to academic excellence as well as basketball excellence. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah. You know, I was texting this evening with a parent of one of the players that made the all academic team to congratulate them on their son achieving that. And that parent immediately, the very first thing that was texted back to me was, let me tell you, the academic support team here is really impressive. Like the parents recognize how much effort Duke puts into making sure that their student athletes are student athletes and that these kids are getting the right kind of education. Donald, I mentioned when I was at Duke a couple months ago, and I helped out in that class where they wanted me to come talk to the students about the media and social media and the internet age and all the other kind of stuff. The class was littered with athletes. There were a lot of basketball players were in that class. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, look at all the, yeah. It's worth noting they were attending, and it was kind of a morning class. It wasn't like late in the day, but they were all attending that class and paying attention and asking me questions and absolutely engaged. Duke is special in that regard. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Not every program is like this, especially not in an era where everyone is interested in making professional sports their real major. At Duke, these guys also learn important stuff about the world and about being true students. And I love the fact, like I say, that the parents recognize how much effort Duke is putting into making sure their kids get a good education.
Jason, I'm not sure if you saw this a couple of weeks ago, but after we beat JMU to advance to the Sweet 16, there was a Duke student who I guess is in a class with like five or six Duke players. Yeah. And they had like a TikTok where she's like, it's, you know, we have an 8:15 a.m. class. And the question of the day is, will the basketball players show up? And there was like, you know, they went through all the, you know, other classmates are like, yeah, I think they will. I think they'll be here. And some guys were like, no, they're not showing up. It's 8:15. I barely showed up. All of them showed up. And it was like one by one. They're like, oh, hey, Jared. Hey, you know, Sean, like, you know, hey, Caleb, like every one of them showed up. And so, again, that's a testament to their commitment. Right. But it's also everybody. And on top of everything else, Jason, the NIL commitments that they have, forget the school, forget the athletic part. They have the NIL stuff they have to deal with too. Parents, friends, you know, everything else that they have going on. It's really an obstacle to have to navigate and also balance all this stuff. So I really mean this. Like, congratulations to all of them. This is a really tremendous achievement. I'm glad that, Jason, that you mentioned that it had come out because I hadn't seen it yet. This is something that I know we like to highlight on the show because there's not a lot of podcasts out there that are highlighting the all academic team, right? They're talking about athletic success, but we want to commend them for their academic success as well.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, the UNC podcasts are not highlighting the academic team.
They don't have anyone to do it.
They don't have anyone to. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it here on the latest episode of the DBR podcast, DBR Bites, episode number 43, as we welcome Tyrese Proctor back for another year in Durham. This is a big, big deal, people.
Another one.
Yeah, exactly. We will be back in your feeds as soon as there is more news. I have a feeling now that the banquet happened tonight, that the news is going to start trickling out a little bit quicker and quicker. The ears that I have on the inside are telling me we're going to be getting some reports very, very soon. And as soon as it happens, Sonal and I will be here to let you know all about it. Hey, remember, you can email us all the time. Don't email, by the way, and ask me who's coming back and who's staying and going. I'm not.
We're not answering those questions.
No.
The answer will be, you'll see.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But you can always email us at dbrpodcast@gmail.com. You know what I don't tell you to do often enough? I don't tell you to like and subscribe. But your job right now, if you're listening to this podcast, you should be like, you know what? Am I subscribed? Because if you aren't, do it. It needs to happen right away. That way you can get what Donald and I have to say immediately, the second it's available. You won't be waiting for any of it. And of course, like it, you know, on whatever, you know, thing it is you use to listen to your podcast, and leave us a nice review. Love those reviews. Donald, I haven't looked at the reviews in a while. It's the summertime coming up. We should do a little
We'll read some of them.
Yeah, for sure. We need to do that. Again, for Donald Wine, I am Jason Evans. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for Tyrese Proctor coming back to Durham. Here's the Duke Band to play us out and take us home.